In this episode of the Future Car Podcast, Nan Kochar, VP of Automotive and Transportation Industries, and I, Connor Pike, Thought Leadership Team Writer, continue a series of conversations on autonomous vehicles and how they will shape the future of mobility. As the automotive industry moves into the future, automotive companies are faced with the challenge of designing increasingly complex vehicles to satisfy consumer demands for greater automation, convenience, and connectivity. Among the most important technologies to the success of AVs will be the vast network of sensors, processing devices, and electromechanical actuators that enable the vehicle to perceive, plan, and act. These are often referred to collectively as Advanced Driver Assistance Systems, or ADAS. While these systems, including cameras, LiDAR, radar, and machine learning technologies, are becoming increasingly sophisticated, they still struggle to cope with certain situations such as extreme weather conditions, construction zones, unexpected obstacles, and unpredictable human behavior. So the question is, how can you deliver trustworthy and compliant ADAS and AV systems that function effectively in the widest possible range of conditions? To help us answer that question, Nand and I are joined by Gwen Van Voet, Senior Director of Autonomy at Siemens Digital Industries Software. So Gwen, welcome, and thank you so much for joining Nand and I today. You've been on the show before, but for any new listeners, I'm hoping you can give us a brief summary of your experience with autonomous vehicles and ADAS systems.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much, Connor. It's a pleasure to be back on the show again, discussing my passion for ADAS and autonomous vehicles. Regarding your question of my background, so I've been working in the field of connected and automated vehicles over the past 15 years. And today I have the privilege of leading the team that's developing the SimCenter Autonomy products and services. And those products and services enable the automotive industry to design high-performing perception, path planning, and control systems that are used in ADAS and autonomous vehicles. So that offer spans the entire spectrum, ranging from data collection hardware and analysis software to immersive simulations. And on top of that, we also execute the final physical Euro NCAP ADAS tests at our accredited facilities here in the Netherlands, where I'm currently also residing. It's a true pleasure to work with the global OEM and Tier 1 suppliers to continuously enhance the intelligence and capabilities of these remarkable automotive systems. And when I look back over the last 15 years of my career that I'm in this industry, back then the focus was really on cruise control and automatic emergency braking systems. And now, look where we are today. 15 years later, there are commercially available level 3 and level 4 systems actively navigating our roads, already taking full control of the driving task. So I think we made a nice progress over the last 15 years. So yeah, happy to be in the show and to talk more about how we can get ADAS and AV even more widely adopted. Yeah. In the world.
Yeah, when it's, you mentioned how far we've come today, and I think it's a good place to kick off our discussion, in fact, is, Nand and Gwen, I guess I'd like to get a sense of the challenge that's facing companies today as they are developing these advanced driver assistance and autonomous driving systems. You've mentioned how far we've come, and looking forward at where we're going, what are the pressures on these companies during development, and what kind of targets are they trying to hit?
I think on the top of mind for our OEM customers and the tier ones who are working in the field of autonomy, while we have made great progress over the last few years, as Gwen mentioned, is the safety and security is on top of their mind. As you know, in a broader sense, there's a software-defined vehicles. The software is everywhere in the vehicle, both from infotainment to safety security in the autonomous, whether it's ADAS, or higher levels of autonomy being developed, safety and security is the number one thing which is on top of their mind from the OEM customers, so that the end customer always realizes the best product. Now, having said that, you could say, yeah, that's given. We companies need to do that. That's on their mind. Second thing which is on top of their mind is optimizing and standardizing the hardware and the corresponding software, both from a functionality standpoint as well as cost. And the reason for that is that now ADAS features are not new. Almost every OEM has some level of ADAS. Now they want to penetrate across all of their portfolios. So now it's a question or a challenge of scaling, and how can we do that? So the reuse of the hardware, reuse of the software, all those things play a much important role. And so that's on their mind. How can we get it done efficiently? And the third thing which feeds into that is, as you know, there's a shortage of software skilled people in the industry. So that is one of their solutions also, that how can we do more with less people? It feeds into that as well. So scale is on everyone's mind, especially the full OEM, which cover broad variety of vehicle lines, and how do we optimize the ADAS development in that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I fully agree with you, Nant. So, and to add to that, because scale, I think, is an important word you mentioned here. If I look to the ADAS systems, you see that these ADAS systems are today not only in the luxury cars, but they are moving into the entry level vehicles, and also not only in cars in the Western world, but actually also moving towards emerging markets like India or Indonesia or Vietnam. I mean, there's so scale and mass production, I think, is a very important topic here. But one of the things that comes with that is actually regionalization. So a system that is optimized for efficient use on German roads, for instance, might not be suitable exactly in that same setting for traffic scenarios that appear in Vietnam. And that means that the OEMs need to adapt the systems to handle a much broader range of traffic behaviors and environmental conditions.
You're making very good points. In fact, it's adding to the challenges. So one of the things is, yeah, we can talk a few more challenges, but please think about, so in your eyes, with your experience and connected in autonomous vehicles for so many years, if you could expand on after the challenges, what do automakers need to do to overcome these challenges we are discussing?
Yeah, so one of the things with these expanding operational design domains, because that's what we're talking about, the ODD, with that comes the need for more data analysis. Basically, what they are looking for is broader range of scenarios that they need to handle. And scenarios can be traffic scenarios, but it can also be environmental conditions as part of the scenario. Or even if you talk about connected driving, for example, the V2X messages also add to that scenario. And it is in that sense that, yeah, what you see also happening is that these companies, when they move towards new markets, they collect an enormous amount of real world data to understand how the traffic behaves and how they can adapt to that. But also what they're trying to find out is the critical scenarios. And so what are the critical scenarios, and are they different in different markets than where they are today? The interesting thing here is that with collecting real-world data by driving many miles also in the new markets, the thing is that you only know what you know. You only know what you've seen. And the big trick, and that's also part of the SOTIF standard, is how do you uncover the unknown unknowns? Huh? So the unknown critical scenarios are the one that are basically of interest to these car manufacturers. And that's where also synthetic data comes in. So with simulations, you can build and derive scenarios that you have not been encountering on the road, but for which you know that there is a reasonable chance that they might encounter. And I think that's where the combination of real world data connection and converting that to scenarios and building your scenario database connects to the virtual world, where you then can expand on those scenarios and even with structured methods, you can even find synthetic critical scenarios that you even not have thought about. And I think that combination is very powerful, and that's also what the companies need in order to reduce their residual risk.
So maybe we can talk a little bit too about the actual vehicle design. I'm curious, like with integrating all these sensors and the chips and all that additional, you know, the electronics and stuff into the vehicle. You know, what kind of design technologies can help with that? Does simulation and sort of the idea of front loading, does that play a big role in integrating these sensors and stuff into the vehicle body?
Yeah, I can start. Of course, the applying the model-based systems engineering approach for this upfront is absolutely critical in selecting these devices, more both from a technical perspective, where you can do attribute trade-offs, what needs to be done. But it's also is feeding into the second challenge we talked about, which was around growing these things at scale and in an optimized way from a cost perspective. So also selection of the right components, whether it's sensors, camera, LiDARs, radars. So the upfront loading technologies can help those decision-making, and then you can pick the most optimum, not only for functional performance, but also for cost performance and reuse within a company. So I think all those things are key and important. This is where I think our technologies bring functional and the business aspects together and helps companies to really achieve their objectives of growing the functionality. So that is an important aspect in the upfront rather than our traditional upfront used to mean that for engineers it's attribute optimization only. So I think that's my thoughts on the upfront piece.
Yeah, and indeed. So what you see, especially in the conceptual phases of vehicle design, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made about indeed the amount of sensors, the type of sensors, and also the specifications of the sensors that have to be chosen. And that has an impact again on the entire electric architecture of the car as well. I mean, if you have all cameras which are 4K cameras, for example, that builds a different bandwidth. That those need a different bandwidth than if you have cameras with less pixels. And it really depends on how much you rely on the camera, and if you combine it with a radar or LiDAR system, what type of optimization that you do in the system setup, and how much that also affects the entire compute capabilities and what is it, communication bandwidth in the car. I mean, do you process all the data in the sensors, or do you use smart sensors and then feed only the objects to your central compute unit, or do you do the sensor fusion in the central compute unit? I mean, those are all architectural questions that are decided upon very early in the vehicle design process, and also their simulation plays a big role in figuring out what the best setup is and yeah, because you have to optimize over all these different parameters and cost of materials and those type of things. So yeah, I think shift left using simulation is a very necessary and a tool that actually all car manufacturers today use.
Yeah, and so I mean, when talking about simulation technologies too, I know that sort of on the, I don't want to say the bleeding edge, but maybe on the more cutting edge, you also have this technology of building a vehicle model and placing it into a virtual scenario or a virtual world, and then that can become part of your testing and your verification validation of the vehicle and the system as a whole. So I know, Gwen, you kind of touched on this already a little bit, but I'm curious, how do we actually build those scenarios? You know, how do you identify, you kind of talked about the critical scenarios. So how are those identified? How are those built? How does that play a role into ADAS and AV testing?
Yeah, that's a good question. So typically there are multiple ways how companies build up their scenario database. So one important part is indeed by driving around and collecting critical scenarios. That's one way. On top of that, typically what they do is by analyzing those real world scenarios and even have brainstorm sessions with their engineers, they try to come up with as much as possible critical scenarios that they can think of. But then still, I mean, you never know what you don't know. So that's with that in mind, we actually developed a mathematical method, which is called critical scenario creation, where we take the infrastructure of an intersection, and we let the computer decide and analyze what on this specific intersection with this layout and this behavior of traffic, what are the most probable and dangerous situations that potentially can happen. And you can imagine that requires an enormous amount of simulation. So that's the massive simulation technologies that we have developed are being used there. But the key of that solution is to optimize towards probability and optimize towards the dangerous situations. And what is very important there is that we came up with a metric of novelty, so such that the computer knows that when he sees a new scenario, he can determine whether that's a scenario that mimics another scenario that is already in the database coming from real world driving, or if it is a really new scenario. And if we encounter a new scenario which is dangerous, then we add that to the database. And this is a fully automated process, and it helps our customers so to find even more critical scenarios that they are able to find through real-world testing and through brainstorming. And this is a way also to show also to the authorities that you have done everything you are capable of in finding all the critical scenarios that potentially can happen in the real world. And that is what all these activities are supposed to be doing, right? I mean, the residual risk, because let's face it, every ADAS or every autonomous system, I mean, there's no system is perfect. but the thing is that we need to reduce the residual risk as much as we can. And by uncovering the amount of critical scenarios, you reduce that to a minimum. And that is basically what is necessary.
That's a very key point, the novelty index Gwen talked about. That is a key differentiator from a technology standpoint, and there is a lot of AI machine learning technologies used to bring that differentiators to our customers. That's an outcome. But kind of going back to your question of how do we build these, as you know, vehicle dynamics models have been built over the years. So you've got a vehicle set up with sensors, and now companies have established the driving scenarios, and now this is bringing the two worlds together. So, you know, some of our solutions with, for example, pre-scan, you're bringing in the real world scenarios and inserting your vehicle models in that, and now your vehicle models are interacting with the environment, and that's how you build those models. Interestingly enough, most companies have done a lot of research and physical data collection as well in picking which scenario they want to put their development teams through. So I'll use an interesting example. So I was surprised in the early days, people go to the major cities and learn about the traffic patterns as well as over different seasons, over different times of the day, how the sun reflection is coming. So they physically, let's say, reach the city of Portland from all different directions, east, west, north, south, the freeways coming into, and measure these things up. And then that's what gets converted into virtual scenarios. So now you can imagine growing these databases, as Gwen mentioned. It's different environment in different countries, different cities. So that's very important aspect of bringing these virtual models together, which are expected to reflect the reality.
So that does it for us today. A quick thanks to Nand and Gwen for offering their time and expertise. We'll be back on this feed soon with the second part of this discussion, in which we chat about the combination of real-world and virtual testing methods, the creation of a closed loop for testing and verification, and more on autonomous vehicles and ADAS systems. Until then, thank you so much for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next time.